Waiting. Waiting for hope. When we talked about the theme for Advent this year, and we talked about how last year we talked about waiting and the ways that we wait. And this year we started talking about what were we really waiting for? And that made sense. What are we waiting for? And then I started to think about hope. Waiting for hope. I mean, do we wait for hope? I mean, isn't hope something that you either have or you don't have? In light of the things happening in our world, I wondered, are there those in our world who are doing exactly that, waiting for hope? Have there been times in my life when I've waited for hope? On the cover of the Daily Oklahoman yesterday in Oklahoma was an article about a book that had been written by the former host of Meet the Press. And in his new book, he writes about the bombing in Oklahoma City. And he talks about the fact that Timothy McVeigh's conviction brought about hope to families in Oklahoma City. 20 years after the fact, and that's still a headline on the paper. Is that what it takes to have hope? In Jeremiah, 6 centuries before the birth of Jesus, the people are in darkness. They are struggling, trying to find happiness. And the prophet Jeremiah gives them hope. The day is surely coming. It was 600 years before that relief would come, but hope was present. An old Robin Williams movie called Jacob's Ladder has Williams playing a Jew living in the Warsaw Ghetto. It's a pretty gloomy place in a gloomy time. There's at least one suicide every night. And one day in the German headquarters, Jacob hears a radio telling that there is a battle going on a few hundred kilometers away. When he relates what he hears to a friend to keep him from doing something drastic, it becomes assumed that Jacob has a hidden radio. He is then pressed to tell more news. Tell us what you hear. As long as there is news, there were no more suicides in the ghetto. That little bit of information gave the hope and the deliverance that they needed. Hope that someone or something was trying to help them. Hope wasn't the end of the turmoil, or even the end of the fear, or even the end of the persecution, but it was a promise of something coming, something to wait for. We reach hopelessness when we have nothing to wait for. What takes us to that place of hopelessness? Loss, pain, illness, change, evil in the world, darkness, hunger, wars, rumor of wars, loneliness. I'm sure you could add to this list. We all reach times when we need someone to share hope with us. the visual of the fig tree that we read in Luke today. The sprouting means hope that summer is coming. I love the story of the secret garden written by Frances Hodgson Burnett. In the story, there's a boy named Dixon and his friend Mary, and they're exploring this hidden garden, and it appears that the gardens are all dead. They're all dark and gray. Over and over, you hear that in the story. It's dark and it's gray. But Dixon takes out a knife and he cuts into the branch to show Mary that hidden inside of this branch is life. He says the tree is a wick full of life, promise, and hope. I remember several years ago, we had a major freeze, and for days ice hung on the trees, and we have numerous palm trees in our backyards, and we lost several of those palm trees from the weight of the ice. And we had to cut them all down to just a stump. But the next spring, out of the stump of one of those trees comes a beautiful palm. It was amazing to me. I had totally decided that tree was gone. We were thinking about what we wanted to plant there in its place. But spring brought hope, new life. And today in that very spot, we have a full-grown palm tree. Hope sometimes shows up where we least expect it and when we least expect it. Sometimes we have to search for hope. Sometimes we have to search knowing that it's there in the form of a baby sent to us. And this Advent season, that's what we remember. The glory of knowing the King of Kings, the joy of being a child of God, is that we don't have to wait for hope. It's here. The waiting ended that blessed night. But what we do have to do now is share that hope with this world. Help those in the midst of fear and loss and pain to see hope. On the night that Martin Luther Jr. was killed, Robert Kennedy stood in front of a group of campaign supporters and he had to tell them of the events that had just taken place. A room full of people, many of whom King had been their hope. And as Kennedy explained what happened, he told them they had a choice to make. Whether to continue living as King had lived, believing in peace and love and hope, or they could turn bitter and respond with hatred, letting what they loved about Martin Luther King go. That night he read a poem by Aeschylus that says this: "He who learns much must suffer. And even in our sleep, pain which cannot forget falls drop by drop upon our heart. And in our own despair, against our will, comes wisdom, the awful grace of God. Out of our pain, through our pain, God's grace gives us hope." Kennedy was credited that night by helping Americans, especially those working in civil rights movements, to remain calm by giving them hope during this setback. As Christians, we're called to bring hope into a world who's lost hope. In this day and time, many in our world have lost hope. I hear it all the time. The end is near. War and global warming and too many people and illness and evil. It's interesting to think that Jeremiah's time, the people were thinking the exact same things. Different circumstances, but the exact same things. Sure, they didn't have the media and the internet to share all the worry and concern, but what they did know was fear and concern. And there was no hope. And Jeremiah brought them hope. Surely, surely, it will come. Kevin told me this morning about a movie. I can't even remember the name of the movie. And Tomorrowland, and I'm sorry, I'm stealing this story from you. He was telling me this morning about this story, and it was about a father and daughter, and I can't really tell you a lot about the movie, but I can tell you that the father and daughter had something that they repeated to one another. And it was that inside of us all live two wolves. One wolf is a wolf of hope and love. The other wolf is a wolf of bitterness and hate. The daughter asked, which wolf wins the battle? And the answer was, the one you feed. We must feed hope and love. It's what we're called to do. We must feed hope and love in our own lives, in our own world, and in our own church. Many have tried to convince the church that we're hopeless, that the day of the church is passing. We hear it all the time. Sure, there are still some big churches, but so many churches have gone the way of being small and struggling. But our scripture says today, live like a good king. We will certainly know that no king was perfect. We know that. All we have to do is look at David, who was the chosen, and we know that kings are not perfect. But we only need to live like a good king. One that lives and breathes justice and righteousness. One that lives and breathes justice and righteousness. Not self-righteousness, but righteousness. Then we are a wick, a shoot. Green and new and full of life and hope and promise. In our daily walk, in our walk as a church, in our hearts, it's not about waiting for hope. It's about realizing that hope is here. Yes, sometimes it's hidden like the dark garden. But if we allow it to, hope and life spring forward in each one of us. And sometimes we have to remind each other of that hope. And that's our job, is to share that hope with this world. Amen.